Today on More to Life, no go. Do you wonder when and where to draw the line with someone who is treating you poorly? We'll help you find grace-filled ways to set better boundaries. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, no go. We're talking about setting boundaries, especially in those challenging relationships we have with, you know, people we care about, or at least have to deal with on a regular basis, who maybe don't treat us the way we wish they would. Somebody come to
never
mind?
Never happened to you
no.
before? I don't know.
It happens.
And happened pretty recently, and I don't know.
Unfortunately, it happens too often. And if you're wondering when and where to draw the line with someone who's treating you poorly, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to set better boundaries.
You know, I think that the first thing is we have to not react right away in anger. You know, because I know, not going to out anybody, but we had a situation like this a couple of weeks ago, and we were both just like, that's it, we can't take it anymore, blah blah blah. You know, we were both in our heads, we were discussing it together, we were analyzing the situation. When we gave ourselves a chance to say, all right, we don't have to deal with this person right this minute, let's take some time and breathe it through and see how this person behaves in our next interaction.
Pray about it a little bit.
Definitely. That's what I was going to say. Take that time and really talk to God about it. See what He wants us to do in the relationship. Things calmed down enough that we could set gentle boundaries. Boundaries that worked for us both in our own heads about how we would react if it happened again, and also with that person so that it would limit the opportunity for this person to just go off and treat us disrespectfully or badly again. We need to involve God in these things in a way where we're really talking to Him, not just saying, well, I think God would make me do this or want me to do that. We really need to be addressing the situation with Him, praying through the situation. But then there are things He will want us to do, because we need to get away from this really odd concept of God just wants us to be nice. He just wants us to be the better person and let it roll off our backs. He just wants us to be fill in the blank.
Well, He does want us to be the better person, but that doesn't mean just putting up with everything.
Exactly. That's because we should be the better person, but that interpretation is just be nice, just put up with it. Just be calm no matter what you're really experiencing or how you've been hurt or disrespected or treated badly or someone you love has. It's very different for each one of us in every situation. So if you have been in a situation where someone's treating you poorly, someone's treating you unfairly, someone is just, being that person that came to mind, give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, maybe that person is blaming you unfairly for something, or taking out their anger on you, or ignoring your needs or concerns. I mean, it could be anybody, right? It could be your spouse, a younger or adult kid, a parent, a family member, or a friend. Maybe you've tried to tell that person how hurtful their words or actions are, and they just won't listen. Or maybe you've tried to set some boundaries, but they just step right over them. Well, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to heal the damage that sin is trying to do to the relationships in your lives. Give us a call. Again, the number, 877-573-7825. If someone in your life is treating you poorly and you just don't know what to do about it, how to set boundaries that will not just protect you, but hopefully lead to healing the relationship. Because you know, that's the thing, and we'll talk, well, let's get right to it, actually. St. John Paul created this theology of the body, and it speaks to human flourishing and how to build healthy, holy relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation, his work through salvation history and scripture, and it really presents a blueprint for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships.
And as we were saying, you know, many people think that imposing boundaries on a relationship means just cutting people off. But St. John Paul II's theology of the body gives us a richer, more relational way to approach them. Let's start with a few theology of the body principles. First, every person is made in the image of God, called to love and be loved. Second, relationships are meant to reflect that divine communion, meaning our interaction should build each other up, not tear each other down. And third, sin damages those connections. And the most important way we can build God's kingdom is by working to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships. Now, when we look at it through this lens, we can see that boundaries are not meant to be walls that divide us. They're gates that guide healthy interaction. They ensure that each person is treated with the dignity of a son or daughter of God.
So in difficult relationships, boundaries prevent patterns of harm from continuing while still leaving room for reconciliation and growth and healing. Yes, there are moments when someone is, say, entirely unsafe, and in those cases, you might need to do a cutoff. But even then, it doesn't necessarily spell the end of the relationship, because it just points to the problems that need to be addressed before it might be safe for two people to begin rebuilding that relationship. You know, creating godly boundaries starts with reflection, where we can identify where we think our dignity or the dignity of the other person seems to be at risk. Then we communicate clearly and respectfully to the offending person what we believe is and isn't acceptable behavior. If the other person won't listen, then we use boundaries to limit our relationships to the kinds of interactions that do feel safe, where they are able to behave themselves, for instance. And finally, we hold fast to love as the guiding principle, because boundaries aren't about punishment. They're about creating the space for everyone in a relationship to flourish as God intended. 877-573-7825. The show today titled No Go, as we talk about using boundaries to heal the damage that our sinful words and actions try to do to our relationships. How can we charitably set those boundaries that open the gate to healing and reconciliation? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those difficult relationships that we have with the people in our lives where we are not being treated respectfully, or where people are taking their anger out on us, or blaming us unfairly, or ignoring our needs or concerns. Lord, we don't want to just cut everybody off, but it's awfully tempting to do that sometimes. And so instead, we ask you to show us how to create the boundaries that allow your grace to flow freely in our hearts and in our relationships, so that even in the presence of those hurtful offenses and frustrating situations, we can respond in ways that lead to true healing by working to cooperate with your grace and heal the damage that sin is trying to do to our relationships. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled No Go, as we talk about boundaries and how to set them in ways that don't just cut people off, but really lead to possible healing in the relationship. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Joshua, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Joshua. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Pretty well, thanks. What can we do for you?
Okay, so me and my wife have been having difficulties, and if I'm being completely honest, for a long time,
we're starting to lose you, Joshua. Can you speak up a bit?
If you're being completely honest, and then I lost you. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now? I'm sorry.
Yes, we can. Thank you.
If I'm being completely honest, I've been doing things wrong, you know, being more focused on, let's say, like my phone, and damage has been done, you know, and I'm now trying to fix it. You know, I've put all that stuff aside, tried to get rid of it, and it's only been a week into, like, since last, not this last Sunday, but the Sunday before last, and my wife, you know, we had a really bad argument last night, and it was not you know, resolved by either. It was left there, you know, and anyway, my wife keeps bringing up things that I had done or I did, and, you know, it's not about the progress I'm making now, and every time it comes up, you know, I try not to get angry about it, but it's really difficult because I'm trying to stay positive about moving forward and bettering myself to get closer to my kids. And, you know, my wife at this point, she's told me she's checked out. You know, she's given up. And sorry.
It's all right. Take your time. What do you feel like is the most important?
Get upset about what she says, stuff like that, you know, and staying positive about trying to heal. And our priest, because, you know, I'm part of a ACTS group right now, you know, and
good.
And I'm not really sharing things that happen at home in our ACTS meetings, you know, because it's, you know, ACTS for men. But my wife went to our priest at our parish, and he had suggested that we should separate for a certain amount of time from each other to maybe heal. And I don't know if it's the right option. I don't know if, you know, and...
Now, are you getting any kind of professional help, Josh, for this?
Well, I was speaking to somebody with Catholic counselors, but it's been a while because we haven't had the money. And
well, whether you're working with us or somebody, you're going to need to get some real professional help with this. And I would not recommend separating. Frankly, separation is really the beginning of the end. It's very difficult to come back from a separation, and here's why. You know, if a couple separates, even if they have the best of intentions, what happens is, you know, they get a sense of relief because, okay, finally I don't have to put up with the daily tension. And then you think, okay, well, we're going to get back together again, and maybe we'll have a date, or maybe we'll have an afternoon, or whatever. We're going to get together, and I'm actually kind of looking forward to it because I've had a break from the tension. And then you get back together, but you don't have any new skills. So it goes badly. And then you go back to your separate corners, and you say, ugh, that was awful. Well, I'm glad I can retreat from that. I don't have to deal with it now. And then you calm down a little bit, and then you start thinking, well, maybe we should try again. But you don't have any new skills. So you get together again, and it's a disaster, or it doesn't go as well as you hoped. Then you go back to your separate corners, and it's like, ugh, that was awful. Well, I'm glad I can at least retreat to here, and I don't have to deal with it anymore. And as that pattern goes on, it just reinforces the idea that we can't make this work. And so just getting distance from a problem doesn't help you deal with the problem. You need new skills to deal with the problem. And whether you work with Catholic counselors or you work with somebody else, you need to be getting new tools. So, for example, Retrovi is a wonderful resource. It doesn't replace counseling, but at least can get you started. It's a group for Catholic couples who are struggling in their relationship. It's a weekend retreat plus 6 follow-up sessions. They focus really on improving communication and how to share your feelings and hurts with each other in safe ways. I would really encourage you to go to helpourmarriage.com to learn more about a Retrovi experience that's happening in your area. I would still encourage you to look into professional counseling, but I understand that it can be expensive, and if you're not able to afford that, then at least doing that, getting good books on marriage, resources. So our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, walks through 8 research-based habits that healthy couples practice that any couple can learn. And you and your wife can go through it together. There are exercises in there. There's a quiz in there that helps you identify your strengths and areas for growth. Books by John and Julie Gottman are excellent resources. They're not Catholic resources, but they're research-based resources, and they really represent the gold standard of what you know, good marriage counseling looks like. There are tons of resources available to you that are affordable that you need to be getting some skills from.
And I can tell you, Joshua, if you get those books and you walk into your house and you say to your wife, I am doubling and tripling down on this marriage. Sure, I made mistakes before. Everybody makes mistakes. Marriage is about growth. Marriage is about healing. I mean, it's the sacrament of healing. It really is. And you say, but I'm going to learn from those mistakes. I love you. I'm committed to you. I want this to work. So I got these books, and I want us to sit down and do a chapter a night or a chapter a week and really start committing to this because I want to show you that I love you.
And even if she doesn't join you initially, start doing the things that you learn in the books. And I will say this, you know, just to go to your specific question about how do you deal with the fact that she's rejecting your efforts. What she's doing is she's saying, I'm afraid, Josh. I'm afraid to trust this. And so I'm going to throw up all these things that you've done in the past as a way of saying, yeah, you're doing something now, but I don't know how long it's going to last. If you allow that to undermine you, or you allow that to cause you to lash out at her, that's just confirming her belief that she shouldn't trust you. So you're going to have to work really hard to interpret those words from your wife, not as attacks, but as her saying, I'm afraid, can you help me? And if you can respond to that fear that she's expressing, even if she says, you know, Josh, you're a big jerk and I can't trust you, instead of getting angry at that, you look at her and you say, honey, I know you're afraid. And I know I had a lot to do with creating that fear. But I love you and I'm doing my best, and I will continue to do my best to show you that you can trust me and that I'm serious about making this work. That's where you need to go with this. So I hope that you can follow through with some of the suggestions. I said, again, Retrovi, helpourmarriage.com. And the books that I recommended are all going to be helpful to you. You can learn more about those at CatholicCounselors.com or Gottman.com as well. But you need skills, not just separation. Thanks for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825. The show today is titled No Go, as we talk about setting boundaries, not to cut people off, but to build a gate that allows people healthy ways in while protecting you from those unhealthy behaviors. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Bill Donahue of the Theology of the Body Institute, who will be sharing some insights on how we can set godly boundaries. Stick around. More to Life will come back right after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about setting boundaries on our show titled No Go. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute is joining us right now to share some insights on how Christians can really think about boundaries. Hey, Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Hello to you both. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you with us. And you wanted to share a quote from Pope Francis that really speaks to this topic of boundaries.
Yes, this is a really beautiful quote. It's become one of my favorite quotes to open up when I'm teaching a course on theology of the body or just giving a keynote somewhere. And when you speak about boundaries this morning, I want to begin with the beginning when boundaries were created between heaven and earth and land and sea and earth and sky and all of it. The whole point of the boundaries is that there's beauty in difference, and that the relationship can be beautiful when we're aware of that wonder of this other who's on the other side, so to speak, of the line. Let me read the quote from Pope Francis. This is from October of 2016. He said, "The dynamics of the relationship between God, man and woman, and their children are the golden key to understand the world and history with all that they contain." Then he goes on to say,
"Golden key." Okay,
yeah, golden
go on.
Key. Underscore that. And then he says, "Finally, to understand something of the mystery of God Himself." So I love that quote. And you're talking about boundaries this morning. And, you know, in the fallen world or historical man, as JPT would call it, a lot of times we have this talk of boundaries because there's wounds and we're hurting each other, we're being misunderstood, or we're being used instead of loved. And if we reset with this kind of a thought from Pope Francis, that somehow in these relationships, which we do screw up a lot, right? There's a golden key to understand the world, history, all that they contain in the mystery of God. I think that could really help us. That can help us wrinkle out our problems and issues. That can give us that deep breath and pause to say, whoa, I'm about to encounter something of the mystery of God. It doesn't make all the problems go away, but it gives us that posture of waiting and listening upon the Lord.
Well, it certainly makes us stop and say, hey, I'm part of a bigger picture than just this moment and this person that's driving me crazy. And perhaps it helps remind us that God is in the midst of it and invite Him to be part of it, because He'll stand there. You know, my godmother always used to say, God is a perfect gentleman. You know, he will knock at the door. He will wait to be invited in. He doesn't storm his way in. He doesn't take over. So when we're reminded by a reading such as you're quoting to us today, that God is part of all of this and it's bigger than just ourselves, hopefully it reminds us to invite Him into the moment.
Beautifully said, Lisa. Yeah, that again, it's a great posture to have, and it's work, right? It's work to get to this point. But if we're made in the image of God, that divinity, He wants to dwell in us. And boy, what a way to live, to have to possess that golden key. The fruits of it are joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, all the things I think we're all shooting for in all of our relationships.
Bill, I'd like your opinion on something. You know, we've talked about this on the show before, but we'll often say that building the kingdom of God is really about primarily healing the damage that sin tries to do to our relationships, because we're all created for communion, and of course sin tries to disrupt that communion. But when we hear that phrase, building the kingdom of God, a lot of times we don't think about relationship. We think about, I don't know, you know, evangelizing whole nations, or building churches, building schools. And all those things are building the kingdom of God, because they do facilitate godly relationships. But all at the bottom of it all, the call is really to do what we can to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I love what you're tapping into. And I agree. I think when we hear evangelization, we do think first, the work I'm going to do. Yes, I'm going to collaborate with God, but I'm going to create something. I'm going to be active and do this or that. But the more I teach this teaching, and it's been 25 years solid of dwelling in the world of TOB, it's really much more of letting it be done. It's our hearts wide open to the permissive and active will of God, who the kingdom of God is within you, Christ says. So evangelization is really a lot more listening than speaking, a lot more being than doing, a lot more surrendering and trusting than we think. And my experience has been that when we allow the Lord to enter into every space and nook and cranny, it's a lot more fruitful. It's a lot more successful, in a sense, because it's his lead. He's doing it, and I'm collaborating with that.
Amen. Well, it's a good place to close again with a quote that we started here from Pope Francis that you shared with us. The dynamics of the relationship between God, man and woman, and their children are the golden key to understanding the world and history with all they contain. Finally, to understand something which is found in the love of God himself. Bill, thanks for being with us today. Always a pleasure. And if folks would like to learn more, I encourage them to go to tobinstitute.com. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about boundaries on our show titled No Go. Wondering how to set boundaries, when to set them, what to do if they aren't working? Give us a call.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Why does the Catholic Church obligate its members to attend Mass on Sundays? For Christians, Sunday, the first day of the week, or the eighth day, replaces the seventh day, the Sabbath, as the day to reserve for worshiping God. The Sabbath represents the completion of the first creation. When Jesus Christ arose from the dead on Sunday, he inaugurated the new creation. Thus, Sunday became the Lord's Day and is now the foremost holy day of obligation in the universal church, as we are told in the Catholic Catechism. We are bound to attend Mass under pain of grave sin unless there is a serious reason for not doing so. Sundays are also called to be a day of rest. Christians are bound to abstain from work which impedes worshiping God and the joy of the Lord's Day. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Jesus reminds us that the key to receiving mercy is being merciful to others. Being merciful means treating people in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. We have lots of chances to practice being merciful all day, but the best place to start is in our marriage and family lives. Here are some ways you can begin being merciful to your spouse and kids and reminding them of what they're worth in God's eyes. First, be demonstrative with your love and affection. Let your spouse and kids feel God's love for them flowing through your arms when you hold them. Second, serve with joy. Remind your spouse and kids how much they're worth to God by taking the time to respond promptly to their concerns and requests. And third, bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. By practicing these spiritual works of mercy, we give our spouse and kids a physical reminder that nothing they do will separate them from God's love or ours. To learn more about being merciful in your marriage and family life, check out my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, we're talking about boundaries on our show titled No Go. Do you wonder when and where to draw the line with somebody who's treating you badly? Well, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to set the kind of boundaries that don't cut people off, but lead to healing. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next call, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 20 years with us.
Woohoo!
KQOV 98.5 FM serves Butte, Montana.
Congratulations going out to Tom Dung and Brandon DeShaw and everyone at Queen of Victory Radio from all your friends here at EWTN Radio. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station with your prayers for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come. Why? Well, so we can keep supporting you and all the people that you love in living more faithful, joyful, and abundant lives. And again, congratulations to Tom Downey, Brandon DeShaw, all the folks at Queen of Victory Radio, all the station owners and program managers, and all the listeners who are keeping EWTN on the air. Thank you so much for all of your support. With that, let's go back to the phones, Lisa. Who's on deck?
We're talking now with Therese, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Therese. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thank you really much for taking my call.
Certainly. What can we help you with today?
Well, I wanted to first say I really appreciate all the work that you and your husband have done. My husband and I have read quite a few of your books, and we're currently reading the one on the first few years of a child's development. We have our first baby, and it's been a really big help because he has not been an easy first. So thank you very much.
Well, congratulations on the new baby. We'll definitely be praying for you. And you know what? While you're doing this, I'm just going to throw this out because I know we're talking about something different in your question. When you've got that not easy baby, sometimes you can feel so alone. So please feel free to go over to the Catholic HOM app. It stands for Household on Mission, where you can be asking us questions all day, every day as they come up. So please know you're welcome over there as well. But what's your question for us today?
Thank you. My question is a little, I think it's tricky. I'm sure it's not going to be for you guys, but I have been to counseling for a few years now, good Christian counseling, so I know what I'm supposed to do, mm-hmm. but the problem is I've grown up in a very, very Catholic household, traditionally Catholic. I love my mom and dad so much. I always feel like I need to preface with that because I feel guilty whenever I say anything that makes anyone think I don't appreciate everything they've done for me, but my husband and I are both 31 now, and you wouldn't know that, by the way, my parents, if just engage with me, I can tell. My mom homeschooled us. We're going to homeschool our son. But I can tell that she's kind of full stop in a mindset of, I'm her mom, and this is just our dynamic. The way, same way it was when we were younger, it's how it's always going to be. She even told me just the other day she thinks she's still homeschooling, and it's because she's watching my sister's baby while she's at school. So she's not even in a mindset of, I'm a grandma. She's still kind of stuck in that phase of her life. And generally we get along fine because she's a incredible conflict stuffer out of a fear of destroying the relationships that she has. But every once in a while it will pop up. And an encounter I can think of was a while ago now, but I just can't shake it, where we had a disagreement about something. I don't even remember what, but I knew in my head, I need to leave now. There's no reason why I'm staying here. They're yelling at me. They're disrespecting me in front of my son who I'm holding. I need to just leave now. And I just froze. I couldn't leave because as soon as I started trying to leave, my dad just completely lowered the decimal, and I thought, okay, maybe we're all right now, and I let it kind of lull me into staying for another 2 or 3 hours. It was a really long, just like when I was in high school, a really long argument that really only ended when I seemed to show them that I agreed with them. So I know what I have to do, but because it's these scenarios that crop up only every so often, I don't get the chance to really practice what I need to do. And so I know character-wise, I don't have that muscle built up. I can feel the anxiety just rising whenever those instances appear, and I just freeze.
And you say you're in counseling. What does your counselor advise you to do about that?
I mean, she reiterates what it is I need to do and just says to not be afraid to do it, but I don't.
That's easier said than done, right?
I don't know what muscles I need to strengthen so that I can actually have the character to do what I know I need to do.
Sure. Are you familiar with internal family systems at all? I could talk to you about that a little bit, I think. Okay, so let me talk to you about that, what that is, and I'd like you to discuss this with your counselor. And if she's not familiar with it, then you might want to work with somebody who is, or you know, and I'll give you some resources on this. So there's internal family systems is a type of counseling, and actually it's a technique that anybody can use. It's sometimes for more serious things it's best done with a professional, but anybody can do this. And basically how it works is that it has you imagine that your mind is made up of lots of different parts, okay? And we even talk about this commonly, right? We'll say, well, part of me wants to go to the Italian restaurant tonight and part of me wants to go to the Chinese place, right? And it's just a way of thinking about being of two minds about something. They're not real parts. You're not, like, multiple personality or anything like that. It's a metaphor, right? But it's a really useful metaphor. So we might say there's a part of you that called in today that really wants to be an adult and have an adult relationship with your parents. And then there's another part of you that's this little girl who's terrified of disappointing mom and really wants them to approve of you and your choices.
And I just want to add, that's really, really, really common to the human experience. I don't want you to think that there's necessarily anything wrong in your relationship, or in your mind thinking this way. It's that we often have to grow into being able to determine which part of us is going to strengthen and be in charge of this next phase of our lives when we're growing up and having our own kids, and we have to work these things out.
And so in this sort of parts metaphor, right, what happens is, okay, the grown-up part of you is here talking to us right now. But when you're with your parents, the little girl part comes out, and she kind of takes over. And the key to being able to not be afraid to do it, as your counselor is talking about, is to be having conversations with that little girl part of you, not just in the moment, but actually all the time. You know, so you're checking in with her every day, and you're saying, okay, you know, let's talk about this. I need to set some boundaries with my mom. And the little girl part goes, oh, like, we can't do that. That would be bad. You're supposed to honor your parents, and that's your mom and your dad. And you know, so you talk back to that part. Okay, well, let's talk through why it's okay for me to set those boundaries for us, you know, me and the little girl part, and how, what those boundaries would look like. And you know, and you might tell her, for example, in the catechism, it says that adult children don't owe obedience to their parents. We owe honor to them, and we honor them by making sure that their needs are being attended to, especially in their old age, and by living godly lives ourselves, so that when people look at us, they say, well, you know, she done been raised right, even if maybe we haven't. We're giving honor to our parents in the way that we're living. That's what our obligation to our folks is as adults, not obedience. And you can talk to that part of you that's holding back and resisting your ability to set boundaries, because you're kind of coaching her through that. And so it's about having that inner dialogue between those different parts. Now, that's a very simplified version of this, and hopefully your counselor will know more about this approach, but this is the kind of thing that we do through Catholic counselors. And so if you're interested in learning more, I would start by talking with your counselor about it and see what you think. There's a book by Dr. Jerry Crete called Litanies of the Heart. I'll try that again. Dr. Jerry Crete, Litanies of the Heart, which talks about a Catholic approach to internal family systems theory. And it's a really, really useful approach to really helping you get behind the things you need to do, especially when you are of two minds about something and you keep undermining yourself in spite of your best intentions. Because what's happening is, you know, the grown-up Therese, you know, knows all this stuff. You know, she's been going to counseling for a long time. She's got a lot of facts. But the little girl, Therese, is scared. And she doesn't have all that information. And so by learning how to have that inner dialogue between those two different parts, and maybe some other parts that are involved in trying to protect you or trying to, you know, problem solve for you, it enables you to get on the same page with all the different parts you've got going on inside and really map out a healthy way forward.
And a way forward that's going to allow you to lean into what the Holy Spirit is guiding you into, to be the woman of God God wants you to be. So being able to do all this work and saying to God, I want to be who you want me to be, Lord, and I want to have all these virtues. And feel free to list the virtues you really want to be living out as the grown-up Therese. God, show me the way to do this so that we can have a good and healthy relationship, so I can raise my child to be a virtuous and loving person. All of those concerns. Even write everything down in your prayer journal. Like, really list this all out so that you're clear. And then really work through that book and continue with your counselor to be able to really, really progress in all.
And with the journaling thing, you know, so once you've had that conversation between those different parts, you can actually write out different scenarios that have happened with your mom or your dad, and write out, well, the next time something like this would happen, this is what I'd like to say. And then you mentally rehearse it and even go over it with those other parts that are maybe a little scared to do it. And you kind of talk through, well, how come it's okay for me to say these things? And why is it even good for my mom and dad for me to do these things? Because, you know, the way they're behaving is offensive, and, you know, it's beneath their dignity and it's beneath mine. And so I'm actually working for their good by setting these boundaries or by doing these things.
How can I emotionally stay in control in those moments so that I'm saying this in an effective way, in a loving and respectful way, but in a way that truly makes my boundaries known?
But you're actually writing it out and mentally rehearsing it, and then talking to those parts inside that maybe are a little afraid to do it, and helping them work through why it's okay for you to take charge in the situation. Again, the book I was recommending by Dr. Jerry Crete, and that's C-R-E-T-E, Litanies of the Heart, and it's a Catholic approach to IFS, Internal Family Systems Theory. But talk to your counselor about it and see what she says, and if you're looking for someone who's really trained in that approach, we do that work through CatholicCounselors.com as well. Therese, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. And just as a side note on this idea of internal family systems, it comes out of family therapy, actually. There's a great family therapist named Virginia Satir who realized that when she was seeing clients individually, a lot of those family conversations that she was having in her office go on inside of her clients' heads.
Sure. So we all have those going on.
Well, let me do family therapy with the one person, with all the different voices that are going on in their head, you know? And so this whole idea of internal family systems came out of that.
And if that sounds complex, I just want to, and I've mentioned this on the show many times, but it really gives us the image of how effective we can be. So picture your internal family system, your family, as one of those mobiles that we all created when we were in school, right? We cut out the paper, we used the string, we put it on a coat hanger or something. And as soon as somebody would go by one of them and touch it that were hanging from the ceiling, or the teacher would open the window, everything would shift. Everything would move. Sometimes it would get tangled, sometimes it wouldn't. But that is what our families are like. We don't have to think of our families as stagnant, as this is how this family always has to be because this is how mom and dad set it up or circumstances set it up. Especially as we grow up, we can be that person that touches one little thing in that family mobile and start shifting things for the good. So the work can be done, and it can really bring blessings to everyone, yourself and the whole family.
Thank you for the call, Teresa. Thank you as well for the kind words. And I'll also recommend that resource that Lisa suggested to you, especially since you're saying that you're having some hard times with the baby. Catholic Home. It's an app that you can download. It's spelled Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. And through Catholic Home, we provide daily parent coaching, tons of creative resources every month to help moms and dads create more loving, caring, connected Catholic family lives. It's a great place to get the support and the ongoing resources. And by the way, Thursday evening, this Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, We are hosting our monthly Catholic Home Live Q&A with our whole Catholic Home community. Everybody comes on, asks questions, shares successes. Lisa and I do a little presentation. It's a great way to get together with
other families. It's part of the home membership, so there's no charge to be let into it.
So check it out if you're interested. You download the Catholic HOM app wherever you get your apps. And with that, we are heading out for our break. It's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 147, verse 14.
He keeps the peace within your borders.
Short and sweet verse, but it's a reminder of the importance of boundaries, right? Because if we don't have borders, we can't have peace. We need to know where we end and other people begin. We need to know how to engage with each other in healthy ways.
Who's responsible for what? You know, I think about the property lines that we all have. So, for instance, we had a storm recently. Bunch of trees came down. Because we know our property lines, we know, okay, I've got to take care of clearing these trees, and my neighbor has to take care of those trees because they were on his property line. It makes it easy. It makes it flow. Everybody knows what they're doing because we have borders, and we need those emotionally and psychologically and relationally as well.
And that's, you know, what the psalmist is saying here, that God can help keep peace within our borders. But if we don't have them, there's no peace.
It's just mayhem.
So let's talk about setting those boundaries and borders that can help you have healthier relationships with the people in your life, especially those people who maybe aren't treating you as well as you'd like. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with more of your calls coming up right after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled No Go. As we talk about boundaries, especially setting boundaries with people who are not treating us as well as we'd like. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marianne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Connecticut.
Marianne, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you, Lisa and Greg. Just wanted to get your thoughts on how to set godly boundaries in the workplace. And to complicate it, it's when working with siblings. I have a number of siblings. We work together in a 50-year-old business that employs 100 people. And one sibling is is difficult. And by that I mean, you know, a bully acts in a bullying manner, makes company sometimes decisions unilaterally. And Lisa, you mentioned a really nice phrase, beauty and indifference. And most of us feel that way, that we can each contribute, and we each have some, you know, the whole concept of no one of us is as smart as all of us. But we do have this one sibling that's very difficult, and we've actually had to get HR involved, or, you know, one of our senior management people quit because he, you know, cursed at him. I mean, it's pretty difficult.
And Marion, what's his role in the company? Like, is he over you guys in the company,
this company was started by my father, who's no longer living. So now the four of us have been running it now for quite some time. But I'm sorry, your question was
What's his role in the company? Is he in a position of authority over the other siblings, or
no? Not at all. He has no, and actually doesn't hold a management position, because this is a problem that predates me. It has been going on for decades, and our father had sort of relegated him to one position that does not have authority at all.
Now, I've only got about 4 minutes before they kick us out of here, so I want to make sure I'm giving you something. But one last quick question. Have you guys tried to set boundaries with this sibling, and what happens?
Yes. And it doesn't happen. The other, and we're in board meetings, you know, the siblings, and, mm-hmm. and you know, they don't, my siblings are mostly silent. So that leaves me to deal with this ego-driven sibling, who I love, I've always had a great relationship.
Will they at least support you in the decisions of dealing with him?
Yes, and sometimes things have to come to a shareholder vote, believe it or not.
Okay, well, let's jump in.
I was about to ask about who has the most shares all that as well,
So just for the sake of time, I'm sorry, I've only got about 3 minutes here, and I want to give you some things to work with. When you're asking, is there a good way to set boundaries with family members in the workplace? Yes. The problem is it's not going to go smoothly, right? Because nobody likes boundaries. And an angry person like your brother is going to rebel again. He's going to push back against those things. The rule that I would say, is, which is good for all relationships, is that respect is the price of admission. In other words, if he's talking to you, or he tries to make a decision, and he's doing it in anger, the best thing to do is to say, listen, I understand you're upset. I'm willing to talk about this with you, but we can't have this conversation until you get a handle on yourself and you can approach me respectfully. When you can do that, come back, we'll talk through this. But until then, I can't hear you, and no decisions are going to be made on this. Or at least you're not going to be part of any decisions, because we can't have you acting like this. Right? And so, you're there. And you're not asking his permission to set that boundary. You're not trying to convince him. You just set the boundary. You know, respect is the price of admission. I'm happy to hear from you. I'm happy to talk through this. Sorry that you're so frustrated right now. When you can calm down and approach me respectfully, you can have your say. Until then, we're going to move forward without you. So it's up to you whether you want to pull it together now or next week or 2 months. It doesn't matter. But you're not going to have a say in anything that goes on here until you get a handle on yourself and can approach me respectfully. That's the boundary. Now, it's easier said than done, which is why I was asking if your siblings would support you in this, because, you know, he's going to try to do an end run around you. He's going to create a lot of drama around it. But by holding that boundary, what that does is it says, look, if you want to have a say, we want to have you have your say. But here's how you can do it. And if you don't do that, everything coming out of your mouth is going to be treated as noise, because it is. And you won't get to have any decision, make any decision. And in fact, if you're able to, if he makes decisions, you said sometimes he just makes decisions unilaterally, it's okay to unmake them. In some cases, obviously, that's not possible in some situations if he signs a contract or something. But in some situations where you can unmake a decision that he makes without consulting or without approaching you guys respectfully, that's an important part of that boundary as well. You know, to set up the system by which you say to him, look, this is how you can have your voice represented in the decisions that we make in this company. You can approach us in this way. You can approach us respectfully. We'll give you a hearing. And we'll you know, do our best to accommodate your concerns too. If you approach us in any other way, not only will we not hear you, but we will unmake whatever decisions you make on your own. And that's just something you do on your own, right? He's not going to like it. He doesn't have to approve of it. That is the boundary. That's what a boundary is. It's where you say, look, the fence is here, whether you like it or not. You can walk through the gate, or you can stay on the other side of the fence. Up to you. And so that's really the way to go about this. It's going to require the support of your siblings, but I think that if you're going to take this approach, he'll learn in time that it benefits him to approach you all more respectfully and be part of the system instead of just trying to bully everybody into his own way. Marianne, I thank you so much for the call. I'm sorry we weren't able to give you more time, but we do talk about this more in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. So if you'd like to learn more about that, you can check that out. If you we do this kind of work through CatholicCounselors.com, where we work with families to help them navigate these kinds of things, particularly in our program for performance excellence that's run by Rachel Isaac, who is a performance and success coach. And so you can learn more about that resource there as well at CatholicCounselors.com. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. If you are looking for help in setting better boundaries, reach out to us, CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, personal life through the light of God's grace. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
This is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.